Yeah, fuck it. I'll talk about it.
Well,
waste 10 minutes.
As we've talked about with my goggle eye situation way back, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a similar thing.
Yeah, you know, people, they're concerned about our personal well-being.
Yeah, so true.
Or remember my car? Remember that great episode? Yeah. It was called Johnny's Impossible Way of Life when my car died at Long & McQuaid.
I mean,
in the parking lot.
That's more fun, at least, like, because it involves music to some extent, you know?
To some extent, but my car did die. Remember, it cost about $3,000 to repair it or something.
Yeah, that's not good. This is costing me money. This is costing me money right now. Okay, well, welcome to Impossible Way of Life, your fucking credit consumer fucking, like, business podcast.
Yeah,
This is a Patreon episode, so fuck it.
Good.
Like, these are my friends listening, you know?
Yep.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, you know, basically, you know, Mingus, if you're listening, might need you to get on the blower here.
Yeah, step up. Like,
there's some
lawyers...
I'm going to try and deal with it after this podcast. I've been on the phone this morning, so I'm going to fill everyone in here on my impossible way of life. I think you'll probably remember, if you listen to this show a lot, that I was a victim of credit card fraud, which, you know, took a little bit of time to deal with with the police, the credit card issue in the bank. Then they sold the debt to a collections agency or whatever they do. I don't know. And I dealt with this collections agency for like a fucking month. Useless people, angry people. And eventually I spoke to one guy who was really nice to me, and he said, okay. And then he emailed me and said, we can see that this, you know, we've contacted the credit card company. They've closed the account. Therefore we will too. It should take about 30 to 60 days for it to disappear from your credit report. So I've been waiting patiently. And today I got a notice that, it's been sold, basically been sold. Instead of actually getting rid of it, he was just nice to me and then sold it to another collections agency. So now I've got a whole other collections agency calling me up trying to get the money.
Oh my God.
And they're like, they don't care about all. I have to go through this all again. And presumably in this sort of Sisyphistic way, when I deal with this, they'll just sell it to somebody else. And I kind of, it's like, I'm trying to figure out who's at the bottom of this pile.
Maybe you could be like, have a bit of hope that whoever's calling you from this new agency will want to help you, will understand what's going on.
Yeah, there's some trippy stuff happening here for sure. Yeah, I'm starting to think that maybe like I know the person who did this, you know, and this the whole world's in on it, you know.
Everyone's... we joke about like, imagine it if, oh no, it was you, imagine if you'd done it yourself.
Yeah, like, I've done it myself.
Imagine if it was me. And that was the end of like this whole podcast thing and everything. I'd taken your identity to buy.
No,
like,
we like.
What did they buy again? What did they buy?
I don't know. They bought TVs or something in Calgary and Red Deer.
It's always fucking TVs, isn't it? Electronics,
something like that.
Always. Well, you know, it's not me because I'd never go to Red Deer, Alberta, willingly.
Not willingly.
Not willingly.
Yeah, so I'm back in.
I'd play there, I guess.
I'm kind of play there. Good. Bo's Bar and Grill. It's a great spot. Played there. They're great.
Bo Diddley's, dude. Meet me down there.
It's Bo's Bar and Grill in Red Deer. They really sort you out. You get a nice spread of deep fried food when you show up.
Exactly.
So I'm in a really fucking shitty mood here, and really just can't be fucking bothered doing this podcast. So like, you're gonna have to love me out of it. You know.
I'm trying. Okay, I'll tell you something funny.
Nice.
Luke texted me today. Luke and Paul Hawley, friends of the pod, have been talking a lot about the Beatles, you know?
Yeah, I've heard of them. And the
Paul
Beatles.
Paul said, I think you guys might be more Beatlesy than me now, even. This is the kind of conversation people I know have.
You are, and I think.
And Luke said, I think Johnny Payne is number one. And then...
see how Max feels about that. Max
and then
Clark
Luke
from
said,
Cobworms.
And then I said to Luke, I'll take that as a compliment, even though you love to discuss how asexual the Beatles are. And then Luke responded, I'd rather fuck you than any of the Beatles easily. No contest, he said.
No,
I thought that's
nice
about
as
close to a heartwarming thought as you get from Luke Paquin, you know, that he...
He was messaging me, actually, Luke, about something separate, which I thought was really funny. Let me go back. Yeah. I can't remember.
He's got all these kind of separate threads going on with.
Well,
with
ours is a little bit more racy than what you're used to. I think that's the thing. Well,
I appreciate you keeping me off that.
We talk about really sexy music on it that you wouldn't understand.
Right.
Like the Strokes a lot. We talk about the Strokes a lot. So he wanted to bring up, remember we were talking about David Kane or David Kahn? I think probably Kane, the guy who produced all of that shit that we listened to on the last episode.
Yeah.
Sublime.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I was on this message when you were talking about Everlast.
No, the Everlast one's a really good, he makes a really good point and we should discuss this, but no,
yeah,
he sent me, he just sent me a screenshot of the Strokes album, First Impressions of Earth, and just said Kane under it. So he produced that record.
I like that album. I like that one.
Said, you like that record? And then I said back to him, and I think this is like a common thread that happens within sort of production, especially if you're into like kind of that, if you're into like indie dance party music, which I am a little bit more than you, you know, and make it a little bit more than you. Like that record's really funny because it's the one that people want to sound like most because it's like the slickest one, but it's not one that people...
It has my favorite Stroke song on it.
What song?
The one, oh God, I can't, it's because it's one of those where the title is not in the song. You know, some people think they're always right. Da, na, 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 da,
yeah.
Others are crying and uptight. Da, na,
yeah, it's a good one.
Oh no.
It's called like You Only Live Once.
You Only Live Once. That's it. Yeah.
That's a really good song.
I love that song.
Well, so it's the record that people are like, oh, that record sounds amazing. It actually kind of, it's a perfect distillation of kind of technical versus natural because clearly the two best records they made are the first two. It's undisputable. Everyone knows they're the best records. They're the ones people listen to the most. They're the ones that broke open the fucking doors. They changed everything. Two records back to back, like, you know, really kind of changed culture. And, yet when you're working in like production with technical people, they are like, we like the sound of First Impressions of Earth because no one's brave enough to make the first two records because they sound like really like skimpy if you listen to them. They sound like garage records.
Yeah.
So it's funny that like, obviously the Sex and Danger, the bravery of those first two records, well, the bravery is a really good example because the bravery probably wanted to sound like First Impressions of Earth. And like, but people think that you can get away with sounding Strokesy with that third record as your kind of litmus test or your mood board, but it never sounds good because people don't really listen to that record as much.
I know exactly what you mean. It's like trying to sound Velvetsy by referencing Loaded.
Sure.
It wouldn't work. You have to reference White Light, White Heat.
Yeah.
Or one of the first three, I guess.
Anyway,
Loaded,
and then,
you would just wind up sounding Beatlesy.
And then, I said to him back, I said, it's funny how people always want to sound like this record because it's like legit sounding and no one actually listens to it. And Luke said, because obviously Luke was in Ha Ha Heat, David Kane's name was thrown into the hat when we were discussing making our third album, which also no one listens to.
His name was thrown around, considered. Yeah.
Considered. Well, I love that story you have where, like, with Paul and Steve, where, like, they tried to call someone up
about
drums. They
phoned the lead engineer who was going to be the engineer on the record at, like, 4 a.m. while he was asleep with his wife and kids to tell him to start researching XTC drum sounds immediately.
I love their album. I fucking
love that.
Snare
sound. Not drum sound. Snare sound.
Research it.
Which is interesting because do you know who produced Skylarking by XTC?
Don't tell me, because I do know. It was... I don't want you to tell me. Was it Todd Rundgren?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So there you go, you know.
But that's not the record that they were researching. They were doing, like, Steve Lillywhite or something. It's like...
I like that
gated
one,
gated kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Drums and Wires.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which is a great record. Of course you like Skylarking. That's your
record. I like all their records, actually. But so Skylarking, niche. I just find kind of interesting.
Yeah,
it's weird.
So true. It's so niche. So pitchforky. That's a pitchforky intake.
Well, I'm not like a huge fan of the band.
I love them.
I like them. I like to listen to them, but it's not like I do a lot of repeat listening. But it's weird. It's like... It's funny, Pitchforkian takes are one thing, and I think you are right, but is it not also true that really you just like the records that people show you. Like if you're like 20 and somebody puts on that one versus Drums and Wires or whatever,
yeah,
that's why you like it. You know what I mean? Or you say you like it. It's just like you heard it first or something.
It's
like
connected
I
remember, to the human experience.
Yeah, like I remember, for instance, oh shit, why can't I remember? When I went into Ditch Records first time and I wanted to listen to Leonard Cohen, like I wanted to get into Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
And he gave me New Skin for the Old Ceremony.
Yeah, which is a great record, but a niche record.
Yeah, it's like, it's not the one that if you spoke to people, they'd be like, first album songs of, you know, songs of Leonard Cohen or whatever. Or something. But like, to me, that one now is like New Skin is like his biggest, it's like his most famous, like in my mind, it's like, yeah.
Well,
I know
every
song.
Well, On the Beach was like that for me, I told you.
Same,
my dad
same thing,
had that
yeah.
record on vinyl. I didn't know it wasn't a famous